Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Alex L., and I write books for a living. The Hey Girl podcast was created with sisterhood and storytelling in mind. Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Join us as we journey through sharing together. Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Hi, Stacy. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm really happy to be able to chat with you about something that I've never heard of before, but while you and I were a part of the Journey Home course, you kind of opened up and shared a little bit about a rare condition that you have and how you're opening up to share your story. So before we dive into the bulk of our conversation, can you please let the Hey Girl listeners know who you are and what you do?
Alrighty, so my name is Stacy Brown. I am currently working in Elmira, New York with Hanger Clinic. I'm working in prosthetics and orthotics, and so I'm in the residency process of that right now. But that's the basis of what I'm doing right now in reference to the story of what I shared with you. MRKH is, there are four letters that represent the names of the doctors who discovered it. So it's Mayer-Rokitansky-Kuster-Hauser syndrome. And it's a syndrome that affects 1 in 5,000 women where you are born without a uterus and an underdeveloped vaginal canal, but you have ovaries. That's just a little bit of my story.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about, one, what made you want to share a piece of your story with having MRKH and how you kind of found out that there was something not quite right.
What empowered me to share my story, I think it's really cool to, or really powerful to read something and be able to relate to it. And then also to be able to see a Black woman on the other side of that story. And I feel like the more that we have conversations about things like MRKH and infertility, that there will no longer be this expectation of this is what a woman is supposed to do and that this is how she's supposed to do it. And just in terms of how I found out last year, I was 25. I never had a period. And honestly, from what people tell me, it wasn't like this big concern of mine until I went to a doctor's appointment and they're like, hey, you're 25, we need to look into this. And then that is when I had an ultrasound, which the ultrasound confirmed that I didn't have a uterus. And then I had an MRI, which then that further confirmed it. And then I went to a different doctor just because that experience with that specific doctor, it wasn't a positive one. There wasn't really a bedside manner. He called me over the phone and I was like in the middle of a class and I stepped out of class to take this phone call. So I went to another doctor to officially get diagnosed with MRKH because not a lot of doctors know what it is. In his case, he didn't know what it was.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
I'm going to touch on bedside manner and being and going to the doctor while Black, especially while Black woman. What has this experience taught you about being in a Black body and advocating for yourself and your fertility? And just this whole entire experience, I'm sure, has required you to stand up and speak up in new ways. So what has that experience been like as you've navigated this diagnosis over the past year?
I think it's been a process of learning what to say and when to disclose that I have MRKH for doctors, because a lot of times the response is kind of like, what? That's not something that I've heard of. So they kind of act in a way of it doesn't exist, or they ask questions in a way that is rude and can be triggering in a sense. And so I think for me, it's been processing those triggers for myself, like not feeling like a woman or not really liking my body and those type of things, so that when someone else brings it up in an appointment, that I've kind of already processed that to myself to be able to have the strength to say like, no, I'm a woman. This is what is going on. And I think the issue with bedside manner, I think it kind of becomes for Black women a very rushed experience, and that we are expected to be nurturers, but that we don't need nurturing. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's something that really needs to change just for any visit, even if it's just for you going in with a checkup, just having that approach and that communication.
That is major, what you just said, how we're expected to be nurturers, but not expected to need nurturing. And I want to talk a little bit more about that as it relates to your self-care practice. And I'm sure there's been times over this past year where you've really had to lean into showing up for Stacey and taking care of yourself in new ways and leaning into your autonomy in a way that may look different for other people. I mean, all of our experiences look vastly different from each other. So how have you been taking care of yourself during this time, and how do you feel in your body these days?
Well, with the self-care aspect, it definitely was extremely important for me to find a community. I was able to find a community with Sisters Surviving Infertility, so specifically for Black women with MRKH, and being able to relate to their stories, even though it's still a different version of the same story in a sense. But being able to see women that look like you that have gone through the same thing. And poetry has helped me a lot. Writing has helped me a lot. Just kind of doing it with no expectation of what it sounds like or it having to be perfect. And my big thing right now is giving myself grace, because MRKH has several different stages. And so I feel like giving myself grace through each stage. How I currently feel about my body, it changes from day to day, honestly. When I was first diagnosed, I hated my body because I felt like my body had betrayed me, because it took away my choice. I wasn't allowed to pick to have children or to give birth to my own child. And I didn't really feel feminine, or I didn't feel like a woman. I didn't feel attractive. It was kind of like I felt somebody could look at me and see that I had MRKH. And so it's taken a lot of work to change that narrative in my mind about my body. I started working out, which helped a lot, because that was something that I was able to control. Mm-hmm. Whereas with MRKH, I really didn't have that much control with that. But it's consistently telling yourself that you're worthy, that you're not less than, and going through the motions and going through the triggers, I think is extremely important.
How are you learning to lean into community during all of this? What has it shown you about community and about acceptance?
I think it's realizing that acceptance looks different for every person, and defining what does acceptance look like for me, and not what does someone else expect my acceptance to look like, because that's an expectation I can't meet for myself, and that's kind of a weight that I can't carry. With leaning into community, I think it's important to realize that you have a community and that you are loved and they are there to support you. There are moments where I thought like, oh, I'm a burden, or I'm asking too many questions, or oh, I'm just having an emotional day because I scrolled through Instagram and I saw like 4 or 5 pregnancy announcements, and just realizing that there are people that have literally been placed in your life for a reason to help you through those very hard times and those challenging days, and allowing your community to be present for you.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What would you say to anyone listening who is concerned that they might have this diagnosis, or if they know somebody who does? What would you say to uplift them and offer a sense of ease to them?
I can honestly think of something that I've been repeating to myself lately, just that if you were born with MRKH, that you were chosen for a purpose, that you might figure out what that purpose is once you stop questioning your purpose and once you stop questioning your existence, and that someone needs your story, someone needs your voice, someone needs your, just the way that you're dealing with your pain, and that you're not alone. 1 in 5,000 seems like a very large number, but when you tap into a community, you realize that there are more women than you think. I definitely think if it's better to figure this out as early as you can, or to get a diagnosis as early as you can, and just going to the doctor, checking in with an OBGYN, checking for certain milestones that may or may not be present, just to love yourself and that you're beautiful and you always have been. Not being able to carry a child doesn't make you any less than, that you are still worthy, and that those are just very important things to remember.
You mentioned in your email to me that you're able to kind of see the other side of pain through this really courageous act of vulnerability that you're walking through, and that you are able to process your healing in these new ways. So before we wrap up, I'd like to talk a little bit more about that. What is the other side of the pain and the grieving that I'm sure you're going through teaching you about healing and about vulnerability?
Vulnerability, it takes a lot out of you, and that it's, vulnerability is extremely courageous, and that you can choose to be vulnerable at your own time, and there's no rush to do that. And just for the other side of pain, I think another emotion that I was feeling when I was first diagnosed, it was like, why am I finding this out at 25? Why am I in the middle of grad school away from my family? Why am I away from my friends right now? And I was extremely angry with God. And I realized that being on the other side, that God can handle my fear, God can handle my anger, and God can handle my disappointment. And that there is no ending or beginning to this grieving process. Different days may have different emotions. I remember my first Mother's Day, and like, that was a really hard day. Mm. Going to my first baby shower, like, that was a really hard day. But just giving yourself as much grace as you can through this process, because it's not an easy one. And allowing yourself to feel how you feel, allowing yourself to be angry. And I've realized, even tapping into community, you have to be aware of what you need and then who you are able to reach out to get what you need. Because sometimes not everybody is in a position to give you what you need, or give you encouraging words, or have something positive to say when you need it in that moment. So, but I have learned there is an other side, and I think the other side of healing, a lot of it is grace.
Thanks for listening to the show today. Please rate, subscribe, and review. Also, feel free to share with a friend. We love having our community grow. Music is by DC's own Kokai.
The Hey Girl podcast is produced by Wayne Bertram and me, Alex L.